Today we're talking about something that everybody struggles with. Have you ever had your back go out? One day you're fine, the next day you can barely move. You literally bend over to pick something up off the ground and something shifts and you're in so much pain. Here's the truth that most people aren't told. Your back isn't randomly failing you, and it's usually not even the real problem. And so today we're going to discuss why this happens, why the pain keeps coming back, and what to actually do about it with Tonya Juge. So she's a doctor of physical therapy and founder of Tonic Physical Therapy, and she specializes in helping people get out of pain by fixing the root cause, not just masking symptoms, so then they can actually move and live without constantly worrying about their body. So, Tanya, I think this is something, a topic that everyone can relate to, back pain. So, most people think their back is the problem, but what is actually going on?
Okay. And well, today I'd like to explore how our everyday postural and muscle imbalances, breathing mechanics, repetitive habits influence how our spine adapts and eventually degenerates or gets better. Often people stop, people are not as aware of their spinal segments as they are of their arm. When your arm stops moving, you immediately notice that you can't bend your elbow. But when your spine stops moving and all the multiple segments are somewhere in that chain, people are just not aware of that. And when that starts to happen, it sets up a cascade of issues that can occur for 10 years, and then before you ever even feel pain. When you finally do feel the pain, that's just your spine finally complaining about it, but it's been adapting for years and years. So
Right.
the goal of today is to develop an awareness of our spines and how it actually works, so you can start recognizing the patterns that shape your body every day.
I love that because, it's so weird, like how one day the back can just seem to fail you. Right. And so I've always wondered about why that happens. I know it's like constant strain and stress. But tell us more. Tell us, start from the beginning.
Okay, I have a really good example of a patient that I treated who was this very strong woman. She was a black belt in karate, very fit. And she came in and she mentioned that, her back would bothered her a little bit, but not much. But then one day she picked up something off the floor that was light, and then she couldn't move after that and had really difficult symptoms. And she couldn't understand it because she practiced martial arts on a regular basis, and she couldn't fathom how, this would have bothered her, or how this could have like blown out of her out her back. But when I looked at how her body was moving, it made a lot of sense. She was really strong. She had a lot of really thick musculature on the outside, on the periphery. Probably, I think she had a six pack even, but she was so strong and stiff. The segments in her spine and in her trunk were not moving, and her muscles were just knotted up and tight and strong, and they didn't know how to relax. So we had to look at, we had to look at freeing up her restrictions, but also teaching her muscles how to soften as well as harden. We need both of those things. We need to be able to ball up our muscles and shorten and broaden them, and make them tight. But we also need to be able to relax our muscles, and they should be very mobile when we are relaxed. So over time, we reinstated movement. So it was muscles, but then also it was spine. Her spine was not really moving much at all. It was just a stiff, almost like a stiff board. And over time, we recreated the movement in the individual segments of her spine and allowed some of the muscles, the internal deeper muscles, to start, having full ranges of motion and to actually fire and support her properly. And she got better.
Wow. So is it because we're like using our muscles in a certain way and we're failing to use them in another way? Like, how do you start physical therapy on something when we're so used to doing things a certain way?
That's a good question. I think the first thing that needs to happen is the awareness. You know, today it's just about creating the awareness and the thought, just the thought that it's about the balance. It's about the entire orchestra. When a group of musicians in an orchestra stops playing, then the other ones get louder and it's there's an imbalance there. But when everyone is doing their part, like all the individual muscles are doing their part, then everything coordinates and one section does not work harder than the other section. And there's just an evenness and a better, you know, a better production of music or of movement.
Yeah, for sure. So how much is our modern lifestyle contributing to these factors of the lumbar spine? Because a lot of people sit most of the day.
Yeah, I know, very much so. The lumbar spine isn't, you know, I don't want to promote this fact that, oh, we're so fragile. The lumbar spine is incredibly strong. It adapts to so much and it carries so much every day, whether you're sitting or you're standing, you're carrying a backpack. So it needs movement. It's designed to move. And what often happens is a segment of the spine will stop moving and will get stiff, kind of like links in a chain. And then all of the movement, the load distribution suddenly starts affecting one segment of the spine more than the other. But when all of the segments are moving or freed up, then the load distribution can flow through the entire spine and not get stuck on one section. And so it's just really important for you to e observe, to become self-aware, to notice how you're moving and if there, you know, if you're able to actually move throughout your spine or if you feel like there's sections of it that don't allow you to rotate or to bend forward, something like that.
Right. So before we continue, when you refer to the lumbar spine, what are you referring to? Which part of the back? Just in case people don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we're really talking about the whole spine, but most people feel things in their lumbar spine. So that's just the lower segment, the lower vertebra. There's five vertebrae there in the low back, you know, like kind of right above your hip bone, and that's called the lumbar spine. And because
Okay.
it's not reinforced, like the thoracic spine above it is actually attached to ribs. So it gets a little bit more support and it has a little more structure to it because of that attachment. The lumbar spine isn't, you know, attached to it doesn't have other bone attachments while in the center of it. So there's more room for things to happen there.
Right. And I mean, I don't know one person that has not said my lower back is sore, feels tight, you know? A lot of people struggle with this.
Yeah, and it tends the point I want to bring home is really that it tends to happen quietly and gradually over time, these decreases in function long before, you know, you ever have pain. There's this segmental stiffness that starts to happen. And then when that happens for a while in the joints, then the muscles start to adapt, and you get muscles that are overfiring and getting tight and rigid, and other muscles that are overstretched and not doing their job. Then you get to that coordination orchestra idea of certain muscles not doing what they're supposed to do, and then an imbalance and a lack of coordination happening in the tissue. But all of this, I mean, the good news is all of this is reversible, you know, and if you can pay attention to it early on before you ever have pain, and you can make sure you're moving throughout your segments, you will avoid a lot of issues down the line, especially as you get older.
So, what would be some of the first signs of the early stages that would signal that, this is the early stages of something happening down the road? What are some signs that people should pay attention to?
Yeah, you might notice, like, say you're involved in high level sports or not so high level sports, you might notice just subtle things like, oh, I can't twist as much as I used to, or I can't bend forward as easily. My range of motion has decreased a little bit. You might notice, like, if you're someone who stands all the time, you might notice that instead of standing 5 hours, you can only stand like even 4 hours before you start to have some issues, So that's really the time to start noticing and becoming aware. Other ways that you can notice it is, or pick it out, is from repetitive positioning. If you have a job where you're sitting all day, or a job where you're bending over something 5 hours a day, you can be sure that that is going to become an issue, and you can start to balance those movements by doing opposite movements, or making sure you're in a different position for the other half of your day. You may notice that, the typical things, the phone posture or the rib, other things like your chest is either overlifted. A lot of dancers do that actually, or they think they're really in a good place, but they're actually overlifted. And then, of course, the standard, too slumped when you're sitting or standing. And those things can, can help you if you pay attention to them, these repetitive positions.
Right. So, what do you think the biggest mistakes are that people make when they're trying to fix their back pain? Because I know like people who roll their back and go get massages and it keeps coming back. The pain keeps returning.
Yeah, I think they're listening to their friends. because even those, many people may have sciatica. There's like five different causes of sciatica. You could have it from a herniated disc. You could have it from stenosis, in which case you do completely opposite things to help it out. You could have it from fascia that's binding anywhere along the chain. So even though it presents in a similar way, the driver of it is often something quite different.
Right.
And so I'll leave it there.
So I guess the biggest thing then is like a proper diagnosis. How do you see what the issue is? What are ways to test? Does like X-ray show the fascia issue, or how would you know it's fascia related?
No, you wouldn't really see, really. I mean, the only way I know of there, I mean, there are some people, I believe, doing ultrasound with like nerves, and you can see if the nerve is gliding or if the fascia is binding it. But if, are you asking in terms of the patient and what the patient can do, or what might be assessed when they speak to a medical professional?
I guess how to diagnose it, how to know why the pain is happening and how to go about fixing it.
Yeah. I mean, I really think, of course, the best way to diagnose it is to go to a professional who knows what they're doing. If you go to a doctor, typically, they will do an X-ray or they'll do an MRI, but that's look, that will show if you have arthritis or if you have, anything happening in the bone, which could be possible. An MRI may show, other things like, of inflammation or a disc herniation or a tumor or something like that, in which case it usually doesn't follow a pattern. The symptoms don't often follow a movement pattern. So if you people are allowed in many states now to see a physical therapist before they ever go to see a medical doctor. So PTs are in New York and in other states, they are qualified to assess you. And really, as far as I am aware, the only people who assess fascia or therapy, physical therapists, well, the ones who actually do that, not all of them, work on that. And I'm sure there's some body workers and some massage therapists who have been trained at a level where they can feel the fascia. The benefit, though, of working with a PT is that we have been trained in medical diagnosis. So you have that added benefit of someone who also knows fascia, but also knows medical diagnoses and how each diagnosis presents itself functionally with movement.
Right. I love that. So thank you for answering that question. What about for the people who are trying to tackle it on their own? I know a lot of people are told to strengthen that area. I know when I was going through some lower back issues, I was told that I needed to strengthen that area, but it wasn't getting better. Are there some habits or exercises that actually might be making it worse?
Absolutely. I mean, the body is so great that usually if you move it a little bit, a lot of things will clear up, just by getting circulation in the area. So in many cases that can happen even if don't know precisely what's going on in there. That's why I think, but in cases that are a little bit more complicated, as a therapist, I would assess and I would look and see you move, and I might notice that between L2 and L4, you have absolutely no movement. Your spine is not arcing when you side bend. It's not flexing actually at a certain level when you flex forward. And that would give me information that I need to do some mobilizations or do some work right in that area. I might notice that it's not the spine at all, from my assessment. I might notice that, oh, wow, this fascia or this chain along the nerve is really pulling every time you move. And if I free up that fascia along the nerve, then suddenly when you move, you have freedom and you don't feel the pain. So it could be a number of different things. And that's why it is important to have someone who can look at all of the. Sometimes it's simply just posture and the way someone's sitting at their desk. There's like 10 different versions of what could, cause, and it needs a precise assessment and then very precise exercises to address the segments that aren't moving or the segments that are not engaging. And that's usually the people who don't get better. Sometimes it's the hips, the pelvis, the innominates. There's tightness in the TFL or something that's restricting the movement and pulling on the whole system. It's important that you find someone who can look at all of those things and play detective and figure out what is, the weakest link or the dysfunctional link in your chain, and then free that link up, re-educate, so that you can feel good again, feel strong.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point, Tanya. The fact that sometimes the lower back might be hurting, but it's not the lower back. It could be potentially the psoas or something else pulling on that area. And so I think that's something a common misconception is that sometimes the pain that we feel is coming from a different area. Because for myself, I didn't realize how everything was so interconnected. And I just saw the body as black and white, and that if my arm hurt, it's because there was an issue with my arm, right? I would never have thought that it could have been something with my toe, or the body is just so interconnected. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, there's a good example that they've given in some of the classes that I've taken. If you think of putting a t-shirt on, and if you pull the t-shirt over here on the right shoulder, and you can see the lines of pull that can happen all the way down to the part of the t-shirt that's next to your leg, and that the tightness up here or tightness down there can pull almost like a thread or something can or piece of fabric can pull on a segment that's somewhere else in the chain. So freeing up the most restricted part of that segment, well, it could possibly free up another segment that's, two joints away and where you're noticing the issue.
Yeah, Absolutely. I know people get really afraid of those pains, especially in the back, because it's your back, right? It's holding your body up. Could you give maybe people some support on, how to start looking after it or some advice on what needs to change in order for that pain to start going away?
Yeah, I can give you some general information. Again, with there being so many possible causes to individual people's back pain, I can only sort of give you some general things to take a look at, like not parking in one posture all day. Even if you're not having pain, if you find that you're in one posture all day, start doing something else, or the last half of your day, start moving in a different way, and that will balance off your body, especially if you're, 4 years before the pain starts. Look at your breathing. Do you, does everything expand when you breathe? Does your chest, does your belly, does your back expand when you breathe? Do you have that mobility 360 degrees around your entire rib cage? A lot of the respiratory muscles are also stabilizer muscles for the body. A lot of them connect to, like, the diaphragm has connections in the lumbar spine and underneath the bottom six ribs, like all of this is connected. So if your diaphragm isn't moving, that can very much affect your low back. It also affects pain nociception, like your the this is a little bit of a tangent, but the pH of your blood can affect your perception of whether you feel pain or don't feel pain. So even though I know a lot of people aren't too crazy about the breathing, suggestion, but really looking at your breath and then breathing, making sure you're moving that diaphragm through its full range of motion can absolutely help what is happening. Notice where motion happens, notice where it doesn't happen. Is your rib cage aligned directly over your pelvis? Is it aimed at your pelvis, or is it tilted up or tilted down? Everyone seems to know about the pelvic tilt, but very few people are aware of the rib cage tilt. Your pelvis could be neutral, but if your rib cage is excessively tilted backward, you're going to have some issues, and you're not going to connect fully in your core. So those are like the mo and when this happens, when you have a better alignment, you get this load sharing throughout the entire spine. I know, like, in a class, I've just seen photographs again of someone who was 75 years old, and I've seen photographs of their segments of their spine. And we were asked in the class, how old is this person with this disc, and how old is this person with this disc? And one of the discs were aqueous and full and spongy, and the other disc was just desiccated. It looked sort it just was dried out and small. And so everyone guessed that, one was of a younger person, one was of an older person. And then we were told they were two different discs in the same person. In a 75-year-old person, so the theoretical kind of educated guess is the one that was desiccated is probably at a segment that was bearing all of the load. And the one that was not was just not, sharing the load, probably the level where the disc was desiccated. I bet he had restricted movement there, and I bet the load of gravity or walking was just all being, like directed into that one spot. Change your position is another good one. Make sure you know how to, this is an old one, but you really know how to hinge from your hips and not from your waist. Because a lot of people don't know how to do that. And it needs to be trained. It needs to be trained repetitively so that in a mirror with a broom behind your back, so that it starts to become an automatic movement for you.
Yeah, because when people start feeling pain, unfortunately, their instinct is to just alter the way they're moving so that they don't feel that pain anymore. And then they're actually making that problem worse, right? So if you address the movement or have someone such as yourself, you know, kind of see how people are moving so that you can correct it before you get so used to moving a certain way.
Yeah, and it's gentle movement, you know, it's gentle, precise movement. It's not like you rough and tumble in the gym, let me get after it, let me hustle, hustle, push, push type of move. You know, it takes a little bit of mindfulness and a little bit of awareness and patience. You have to slow yourself down. And or you could take a class. There are many classes now that you can take for breathing, for, you know, gentle range of motion, gentle yoga even, you know, so that you can learn about the subtle movements of your body.
Right. So, Tanya, what is one thing that you wish people understood more about their body and their lumbar spine?
One thing, let's see, that your spine is not fragile. It's incredibly adaptable. The question is, what is your spine adapting to? Is it adapting to that round low chair that you sit in 10 hours a day? Or is
Right.
it adapting to a practice, some sort of movement practice where you're moving through full ranges of motion and, or, you know, or you're sitting on your pelvic floor and your spine is stacked well, so that, you know, the load distribution is even and that the spine is happy when it's sitting.
Right. It's just becoming aware. I think awareness is key in everything in life, right?
Yeah, and it can be difficult to slow down because we do come from this hustle culture, you know, that seems to value pushing, pushing harder, fat, you know, that sort of thing. And it does take a lot of mindfulness, a lot of patience, and it's hard. It's challenging to sort of sit with yourself and to notice, but it has so many benefits, you know, if you the body is always speaking to you and letting you know what's good and what's bad, but you just have to clear your mind and start to listen to the feedback that it's giving you. I have this one older patient who's sort of disconnected with his body. And I learned over time that I had to actually, while he was doing an exercise, I had to actually cue him on what are you feeling when you do that exercise? Like, where do you feel muscle burning or discomfort, like in a good way? And he was able to do it when I cued him. But initially, when I didn't cue him, he was just doing the exercises without even paying attention to where he was feeling it. But once I
Right.
cued just a little bit, he was like, oh yeah, that is different. This fatigue pain you're telling me about is very different than my symptom pain. And this fatigue pain goes away a minute after I stop, you know? So it was a real learning process for him. And it, as someone who's always been kind of hyper aware of my body, it was news to me. It was something new to me that, you know, everyone didn't really, you know, hear their body or pay attention to it, but such a key point.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned the culture and how we're taught to push through. Like even if you look at athletes, you know, you see someone get hurt on the football field and they're on the sidelines and then they're sent back out to play more and like push through the pain. That's so hard on the body.
Yeah, I love that in recent years there's been some positive examples out there with Simone Biles and the young ice skater in the Olympics, who Lou, is it a Alisa Liu, I may be pronouncing her name wrong. And, you know, she actually stopped competing and retired because it was too much and they were pushing her too hard. She stepped away for a few years and then she came back on her own terms and she said, you know, I'm going to rest when I need to rest. I'm going to eat when I need to eat. I'm not going to starve myself. You know, she said she was going to listen to herself basically. And then she ended up winning the gold at the Olympics. And
Amazing.
she was the most natural, beautiful skater you've ever seen, because she was so embodied and so relaxed and so mindful, and I think Simone Biles did it a couple years ago when she just realized she had to stop. It was dangerous. And she got a lot of slack for that, but she came back like a year or two later and then won all these championships. And so I think it's just the best example of how important, even in, competitive sports, it's just a different take. It's a different mindset on achieving and competing and respecting your body and what it needs.
100%, 100%. And yeah, it's not everybody feels so connected to their bodies, as you said. And yeah, it's interesting. So, Tanya, tell us more about the work that you do.
The work that I do. So I have a boutique, a physical therapy practice in Manhattan, and I spend an hour with my patients one-on-one, and I do very detailed soft tissue mobilizations, the body work, and joint mobilization. So, like in the case of the lumbar spine, I would look at the way somebody moves through many different ranges, and I might detect a couple segments that are just absolutely not moving in their spine. Usually, I would also notice, oh, wow, these muscles are overactive and overworked. The ones on the opposing side are overstretched and not engaging. So then I would train them after doing the soft tissue and freeing up the issues mechanically. Then I would train them to sort of change their golf swing or change the way, they stand and sit in their body and train that. So the exercises are very, very specific and geared around an individual compensation pattern that they may have. What's so cool is when you do that, the body adapts, it gets better. It really improves people's symptoms. And I'm still amazed at how many people often come to me and they say, no one has done this before. And they've been to many practitioners, and it just kind of seems like common sense to me to do all. But I think it gets very challenging to do that, to practice this way when you're seeing four patients an hour. And I have the luxury of seeing one patient an hour, but if I were seeing, just cookie cutter shuffling people through, which is unfortunately about 90%, 95% of therapy nowadays, I wouldn't have time to really give each person the attention that I'm able to give them. And then, they get the results are better. It's intense, but the results are much better that way.
Yeah, amazing. That's beautiful. I love that you have the ability to help people on such a personal level. Tanya, the last question that I think comes to mind that I think the audience would be wondering is, how long does it typically take in order to start seeing relief from a possible injury? Because I know that a lot of people want to feel better immediately, but that's just not realistic. What is a realistic timeline to heal and to start feeling relief from back pain?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It will depend upon what stage you're coming for treatment in. If you're just beginning to have some issues, generally, maybe in about five sessions, 3 to 5 sessions, you'll be good to go. If you're just beginning to feel some mild discomfort. If you're in a very acute stage of pain, there's often a period of decreasing the inflammation and settling things down, which could take 3 to 6 weeks just to do that, just to calm the system down, just to position, teach positioning to take load off and to, take irritation off, and then another 6 weeks to maybe 3 to 6 weeks to build back up. If you've been in chronic pain, for years and years and years, it's probably going to take, 6 months actually. If you've got patterns that you've been using for 30 years, and if this is built up over a long period of time, that's why I think it's so important that people are mindful and they find, they're in touch with their bodies and they notice things early. If you can notice these issues early and have someone clean up your spine, or free up all the levers, it will save you a lot of pain and a lot of time and money in the future. So go out there and take care of yourself as soon as possible and, address your issues quickly because your solution will happen much more quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Tanya, it has been amazing talking with you. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge on this topic. I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this.
Thank you. And I just want everyone to remember that their body becomes really good at the positions they live in. So you need to live in a variety of positions and that your spine is not fragile, your spine is strong.
Amazing. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. If you've been living with back pain, I hope this episode gives you a completely new way to look at it. Your body isn't fragile, it's not broken, and it's definitely not working it against you. It's adapting to how you're moving every single day. We'll make sure to have Tanya's information in the show notes so you can learn more about the work that she does and how to start building a body that actually supports you for life. Stay tuned for the next episode, everyone. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.